I'd like you to place your hand over your heart and feel it beat. Every time your heart beats, approximately 3 Bibles or Testaments are placed somewhere in 199 countries around the world. 199,000 Gideons distribute scriptures in 99 different languages. We partner with local churches to win men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by placing Bibles and Testaments in the traffic lanes of life. You know, this is a time of year when we celebrate the birth of Jesus in a stable because there was no room in the inn. Gideon Ministry started because there was no room in the inn. In 1898 in Wisconsin, John Nicholson and Samuel Hill had to share a hotel room. John Nicholson was saved when he was 10 years old, and he promised his mother he would read his scripture every night. Samuel Hill was also a Christian, and together they shared devotion on their knees that night, and that planted the seeds that led to the Gideon Ministry. They agreed to meet again to determine how they could reach other travelers with the word of God. You know, most Gideons will speak probably have read Isaiah 53:10-11. And I'm no exception, because it's really kind of a standard of what we're about. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word says it will not return void. Let me share some returns in the form of testimonies with you. You know, when you stay at a hotel or motel, do you open that nightstand drawer to see if there's a Gideon Bible in there? Richard was a man consumed by his job. He had little time for his family and much less for God. He awoke one morning about 3 a.m., concerned about the condition of his life. He opened that nightstand drawer to pull out that Bible, and sure enough, it was there, and he pulled it out, and he read it for about 2 hours. Then he got down on his knees, and he says this: I remember a feeling like none I've ever experienced coming over me. I was crying and asking God to please help me fix my life. In the morning, I was weak and drained, but somehow I felt different. I was sure the Holy Spirit was with me in that room. Today, he never misses a Sunday in church. He's acting in his church as a trustee and elder, and recently he became a Gideon. One young lady ran away from home when she was 17 years old, got married when she was 24, and her marriage was running rapidly toward divorce. Her husband was a civilian military employee, and when their house burned down, they were able to stay at the military hospitality house as a temporary place to stay. Well, she found a Gideon Bible there, began reading it, and she read scriptures that she remembered as a child. God was working to soften her heart. They decided to go to church on Easter Sunday, and both of them went forward and accepted Christ as their Savior. Their marriage was healed, and then a Gideon, who was a member of that church, mentored her husband, and he felt a call to go into full-time ministry, studied, and now he's a pastor. We give little white testaments to nurses and others who work with patients. Elizabeth was a nurse undergoing deep despair. She sat down at her desk to write 3 notes. One was to the doctor she worked for, one was to the police, and one was to the person who would find her. She opened her desk drawer, pulled out a gun, cocked it, and put it in her mouth. And out of her corner of her eye, she saw a little white testament that she had been given because she was a nurse. She put her gun down, looked at the testament, picked it up. She says, I wonder if I can find hope in this book. And she did. She found hope in Jesus Christ. Debbie's ultimate goals were to be married and have a child. During the latter part of her pregnancy, her husband told her that he wanted a divorce. Because of all the stress and strain around the situation, she went into early labor, and there was a great concern about whether her child would survive. And she felt hopeless and afraid. One of her nurses, Charmeline, used her little white testament to share the love of Jesus. And turning to the back page, she showed Debbie how she could have a new life in Christ. A new life was born that night, and it was Debbie. Sometime later, her son was born early, but he's now a healthy, God-fearing young man. She remarried, and now they're both serving the Lord in this ministry. We place large print testaments in our nursing homes and hospital room, and we also place full Bibles in the waiting rooms. Sometimes those full Bibles find their way into the individual rooms. Danielle had grown up in a Christian home, but she describes her heart as being dark and rebellious. At 20 years old, she woke up in a hospital after being involved in a very serious automobile accident. From her family background, she knew that God must have spared her from some reason. She says that during that long hospital stay, she found a friend on her bedside. It was green and had a hard cover. The nurse told her that Gideon's had recently placed Bibles there. Well, she says this, "This Bible still sits on my home office shelf to remind me of the day the Lord pulled me out of the miry clay. The Lord Jesus, the Savior of my soul, met me personally in those beautiful pages of that inspired book. He came to me in the depths of my despair and redeemed me for his own. Through his written word, he spoke to me clearly. I know that he had saved me by his blood through my tears of repentance and faith in his gift of grace alone. I was now his child." Danielle married a godly man named Ralph, and together they started Capital Ministries with a mission of reaching every political leader in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you remember I said back in that hotel room, she knew that God must have spared her for some reason. That very morning, before the accident, her mother prayed this, "God, do whatever is needed to bring my daughter to you." A nurse in Norway was assigned a very difficult, dying patient. She asked, "Are you scared?" And he said he was. And then she opened the nightstand door, stand drawer, and pulled out the large print testament. And she read John 3:16 using his name. And then she read John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to receive the sons of God, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." She asked him if he wanted to receive Christ into his heart, and he said he did. That's exactly what he'd like to do. It was easy to see that something had changed in his life. His fearsome expression was replaced with a smile. She sang him a little song, and before she could finish, he fell forward right into the arms of Jesus. We distribute little brown testaments in our jails and prisons. And when we find damaged Bibles in our hotels and motels, we recycle those into the prison ministry. I'm told that they tear the hard covers off so they can't be used as weapons. Francisco Gomez started using drugs when he was 10 years old. He got into a life of crime, and on two different occasions, he tried to kill his own family. He was in jail waiting sentence when the Gideons made a distribution at the prison. He got so enraged that he attacked them. Taken back to his cell, he took off his coat and threw it against the wall. And out of his coat fell one of his little testaments. Seems one of the Gideons must have slipped it in there while they were being attacked. Well, he couldn't believe it. He was drawn to it and started reading it. Within a short time, he repented of his sin and cried out to the Lord to take over his life. Shared the gospel with his mother. His mother talked to the judge about his new life, his change of heart. God set him free not only physically, but spiritually as well. Now he's a pastor in Seville, Spain, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mary Kay Beard was on the FBI's most wanted list. She was a notorious safecracker, and she and her husband were bank robbers. Arrested in Alabama, she found a Gideon Bible and started reading it. She was drawn to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh." And she surrendered her life to the Lord. Now she understood the problems that prisoners face. So she got involved in Angel Tree ministry, helping prisoners become closer to their families. We provide camouflage testaments to our military men and women. Usually they're given to the chaplains to be handed out, but that's not the only way they get in the hands of our military. Some of you may remember receiving not a camouflage one, but a little green one. That's what we used to do. Some time ago, Andy Teston was in Panama helping prepare for Operation Just Cause that removed Manuel Noriega from power. The first day of the invasion, Gideon got aboard the plane that Andy was on and handed out testaments, and he said, "This is the most important piece of equipment you'll take into battle." The second day, Andy was shot, and the bullet passed partway through his armor and into his little testament. Bullet stopped at 2 Corinthians 12:9. "He said unto me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Now, you'd think that would get his attention, but it didn't. He just went on about life as he had been. He was assigned to Korea, and there he got drunk and got in so much trouble that the commanding officer got him out of the country before the civil authorities could get a hold of him. On the plane, he couldn't even remember what he'd done. He was drunk and sick and went into the restroom. And as he was in there, he reached into his case to find something that might help him. What he pulled out was that little testament. And he read 2 Corinthians 12:9. "The toilet became his altar, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ and asked for grace to become saved." Missionaries Bill and Betty Bray went to Rumblon, a small Philippine island. Now, several months ago, I gave the same testimony in a church, and there was a missionary there who was had been in Philippines. And afterwards, he corrected my pronunciation of the island. But the Brays went from house to house, handing out tracts and telling people about Jesus. But to their surprise, everyone they met was already a Christian. Seems that during World War II, a Navy lifeboat had washed ashore. And in that lifeboat, a village elder found a little testament. He was able to read English. So he read about the love of Jesus and gave his heart to him. And then he went to his family, told them about Jesus and led them to the Lord. And then he went around to his village friends and neighbors and told them about Christ. You know, in schools, we give to 5th through 12th grade students little orange testaments. It's a little difficult to get into some of the schools now. And so many years ago, we took a booth at the Butler County Fair. This past year, we distributed 1,918 testaments there. And that's about average. We've had as high as 2,400 testaments and as low, I think, as about 1,600. But the average is probably about 2,000. Several Gideons made a school distribution in a small, remote Albanian village. Faria, a high school student from another village, was visiting, and she received a testament well. She took it home, and she read it until she got to the back cover, went through the plan of salvation, and turned her life over to Christ. Then she took that little testament and tore out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and gave one to each of her four friends. They read them, exchanged them among themselves, and when they had read them all, Faria led them through the plan of salvation. They all accepted Christ. About 6 months later, the Albanian Gideons got together enough money to hire a taxi to go to Faria's village. They were met by Faria and her four friends, who told them the story of what had happened and said they'd been praying that each one of them could have a little testament of their own. An overwhelmed Ethiopian woman decided to hang herself. She searched her son's room to find some rope, but what she found was a little testament that her son had received at school the day before. She read, "Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Thoughts of suicide left her, and she decided that she ought to go to church. That Sunday she went, the pastor preached on Matthew 11:28, the very same verse that she had read. That day, she received Christ as her Savior, and the next week, her son went forward to accept Christ. A Southeast Asia school leader allowed the distribution of 1,400 testaments to each school. A month later, he contacted one of the Gideons and said, "I want to become a Christian." He said, "When I was 12 years old, about 30 years ago, I'd received a little testament, but my Muslim mother wouldn't allow me to keep it. Now I'd like to accept Christ." And after he did, he was baptized with a new name, Abraham. And by his testimony, 65 others received Christ. There's a new innovation that we have with the Gideons. You know, usually Gideons hand out testaments themselves. But they've come up with this thing to reach teenagers called the Life Book. And it's something that's available to youth pastors to obtain up to 1,500 of them and give them to their youth. And those youth can give it to their friends. It's got four sections. It's got the first section is basically God's story before Jesus. And then there's the book of John, and there are little notes in the corner, the things that would appeal to youth. And then there's a call to salvation, and then there are helps that they can use if they're having family difficulties or something like that. Uses an interactive format with real-life questions and comments. Since 2001, 1 million students have been mobilized by youth pastors to give the gift of the gospel. We give little green testaments to college students. At Miami University last September, we distributed 4,369, and at Ohio State, 9,180. Gideons were distributing about 12,000 testaments at a large university at Porto Alegre, Brazil. One recipient took the little testament, and he cursed them out in Portuguese. He said, "You know what you can do with this book? You can throw it away, and that's what I'm going to do now." He took it and heaved it just as far as he could. Landed on top of a nearby roof. A little while later, Luis Alvarado came down off of that roof and with a tear in his eye. He said, "I was on that roof thinking about jumping off when God miraculously hit me in the head with this book. He said, I read in here where I could have eternal life. Will you show me how?" Within 30 minutes, he was our brother in Christ. Don Martling from Long Island, New York, went to college at the University of Central Florida. He didn't know many Christians. He'd never been to church. During a Gideon campus distribution, he went out of his way to avoid seeing a Gideon. And I've seen that in Miami. I've seen kids cut through the grass, go all kinds of different directions to avoid. But we put about 50 Gideons around the campus, and it's kind of hard to avoid all of them. Well, he felt pretty successful until he turned a corner and ran smack into one of them. Very politely, he took one, deciding that he'd throw it away later. He got to thinking, why would a bunch of old guys dressed in suits and ties be standing out in the hot Florida sun handing out that little book? He decided maybe he'd read it. But he didn't want anybody to know, so he hid it in one of his textbooks. Before long, the Holy Spirit had worked on his heart, and he accepted Christ. After graduating, he worked in a campus ministry for a while, and he met a missionary's daughter. And they got married, and then he felt a call into full-time missionary work. He did the studying necessary and became a missionary along with his wife. Jesus Barrios said that I was the Gadarene, demon-possessed man of Matthew chapter 8. A beggar in the streets of Barranquilla, Colombia. He had no purpose and no hope. He ate out of garbage cans and sometimes walked around naked. Someone motioned to him to come into a store. He thought, well, he'd get some food, so he went on in. Instead of food, a faithful Gideon auxiliary member, one of our wives, gave him what we call a little personal worker's testament. Personal worker's testaments are just testaments that we buy ourselves in order to do witnessing, or personal witnessing. Well, after 12 years on drugs and alcohol, his mind was pretty well fried. But somehow that book looked interesting to him. He took it and he started reading it. He cried out when he read Psalm 51:2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." His life started to change. After years of rejection, he found peace and comfort with the Lord. He accepted God's call on his life. After walking naked in the streets of Columbia, he now walks dressed in the power of the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brian Thompson from Alabama had the privilege of leading a Haitian man to Christ in Jacmel, Haiti, on March of this year. The man had had a very worn French New Testament, and he had read it, but he hadn't accepted Christ. Brian Thompson felt led to read Ephesians 2:8 and 9 as the Holy Spirit drew this man to salvation. And after he was saved, Brian connected him with a local church, and the next day he was baptized. We see that a lot. We see a lot of times when somebody hands out a testament, and it's a number of years later before someone uses it to accept Christ. In this case, a faithful Gideon had sowed a seed by planting that testament or handing out that testament. And then many years later, Brian Thompson got the opportunity to see the harvest. You know, Brother CB has shared with me about your recent mission trip to Haiti, and about, I guess you have quite a bit of involvement with Haiti and Mission Way. I thought you might be interested that the first Gideon camp was organized in Port-au-Prince in 1951. And now there are 33 camps with 518 Gideons and 116 auxiliary members. Now, when I talk about camp, Butler County has three camps. We're in Butler South. There is a Middletown camp and a Hamilton camp. Hamilton goes all the way up to Oxford. And basically, in a camp, the Gideons are responsible for ministering to the churches and speaking like I'm doing today, and doing the distribution in the hotels, motels, hospitals, and other places within that camp area. Now, I looked at our website and found on November 13th that Haitian Gideons were waiting for 425 scriptures to be delivered. Now, we operate on a pay-as-you-go basis. If there aren't funds available, we can't have them printed and release them. But I looked again at the website on November 20th and saw that those 425 scriptures, money had come in so that they were released to go to Haiti. You know, we've heard about politicians saying that no crisis should go to waste, and their crisis goals are frequently self-serving. But when Haiti experienced a 7.0 Richter scale earthquake, a true crisis on January 12th of 2010, there was an opportunity to provide the only true hope in the midst of that devastation. And I want you to watch this little video clip about the distributions that were made right after that earthquake by Gideons.
I'm happy today because I'm there and I'm Christian for telling you the truth, and I saw many other persons' farms and the JDL organizations, they bring spiritual food for the people, for the Haitian people, because they have needed these things a long time. I think they want to have a change inside the society, the Haitian society, because they were waiting for the Bible since a long time, and I think right now they receive the Bible and they want to read the Bible. That is going to help them to make progress and to accept Jesus for their favor. Thank you for this time. It's all.
Well, Unfortunately, we're not going to get the picture out of it. We tried to work on it at the beginning and thought we had it, but no such luck. But that was a Haitian man telling about the blessing of the distribution and that he was just blessed to have God's word. And then if we went on through the rest of that video, we'd see young children especially, and adults as well, receiving a copy of God's word, many of them reading it, many of them with a big smile on their face. And, I don't know how many people accepted Christ in Haiti, but they were holding the one hope that is sure. We might ask, what can you do about this ministry? One thing you can do is pray. Pray that God will use those Bibles and Testaments to bring people to Him. And pray that Gideons will be faithful to be about the business of raising funds so that we can release scriptures, of going from hospitals and hotels and all the various places we place scriptures, and being faithful to make those distributions. And then if you're a business or professional man, you might consider whether God would have you be a Gideon member. You could talk to me after the service, or CB is here, and he can certainly tell you what it takes to become a Gideon and just the blessing that it is. And then you can give as the Lord leads. Every penny given to the Gideon ministry is used to purchase and deliver Bibles and Testaments, not 1 cent used for overhead cost. Overhead costs are borne by Gideon members ourselves. There are dues and other offerings. There are three ways you can give. Pastor's going to tell you about a free will offering. And then there's the Gideon card program. I notice you have kind of next to this, as you come in, I guess it's the left-hand door, there's actually two racks of cards which need to be added to because some of them are gone, been used. You can use cards out of that rack to place Bibles in memory of someone, in recognition of a special occasion, or just to say, I'm thinking of you. Sandy and I, my wife, use that occasionally to recognize something that someone's done at church. And I've had people come up and say, you know, I've never received a gift like that before. Preston Josney's wife had tried for many years to have a child. One child, Sarah, was stillborn. In honor of Sarah, over 400 Bibles were given through the Gideon card program. Those 400 Bibles had the potential of exposing 920,000 people to God's Word during the average six-year life of a Bible in a hotel room. Now that is a gift that keeps on giving. There's a third new way to give to the Gideons. It's called the Friends of Gideons program. Brother CB has some brochures if you're interested in that. But with that program, you can register to support the Gideons either as a prayer partner or as a financial partner or both. It's designed for those who can't regularly be part of the ministry as Gideon, but want to regularly support it. Prayer partners receive testimonies, just like I'm telling you today, new ones that are coming out, and a prayer calendar so that they can zero in on specific prayer needs. Financial partners receive those benefits, but they also receive up to 12 testaments that they can use in their own personal witnessing and the opportunity to purchase more if they'd like. I'm kind of excited about this program. It's a way, because I've had people talk about wanting to regularly support Gideons, but unless they're sending cards out all the time or going to different churches where there's a speaker, it's a little difficult to do that. This is a way to do it. Now, there are 7 billion people in the world. 2/3 of them don't know Christ. And the U.S. provides about 70% of the scriptures used overseas. Those scriptures that were released to Haiti, in all probability, the money for those scriptures were raised here in the United States. You know, I told you there were 199 countries. Actually, there's one more, but we don't talk about it for political reasons, and that's in China. When Hong Kong was part of the British Empire, there were three camps there in Hong Kong. When the Chinese took Hong Kong over, they allowed those three camps to continue to exist. Can you imagine what would happen if God were to open up the doors to China? What an opportunity and what a need for scriptures. I want to thank you, Pastor Wilson. I want to thank you for allowing me to come and share how God is using the Gideon ministry and guests and church members like you to win men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by placing Bibles and testaments in the traffic lanes of life. Thank you.
Time. You know, the importance of sharing the gospel can never be underestimated. And we are admonished by the scriptures to share the scriptures. And I am always just fascinated by the stories. You know, the Apostle Paul said by preaching, the foolishness that is involved in just sharing the simple word of God. But it is the power of God and the salvation. It's how God displays himself in a mighty and just such a significant way so that no man can lay claim to it. Those stories, Brother Norm, that you shared, obviously were not under man's authority or man's power. It was under the authority and the power, the Word of God. And so we are excited about what the Lord is doing through the Gideons and obviously what he's doing through this church as well. We're going to have just a prayer here. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would be willing to gather together. We're going to receive an offering tonight for the Gideons. There's an honorarium that will be given. Brother Norm does not take that honorarium, but it will be given to Gideons International. So on the top, there's some money going to the Gideons from the church directly for Bibles. And then subsequently, what we give as we leave here tonight will help go to that. And there's not many ministries that can say that there's no overhead cost. North American Mission Board can't say that. The International Mission Board can't say that, and for good reason. And this church cannot say that. But the Gideons, to their praise and to their honor, they're being used of God that way, and it costs something to serve. So, CB, we're happy that you're back with them. You've got, what do you got? I would say make the check out to the church in the memo, write Gideon Ministry, okay? If you're going to give a check that way. And the counters will make sure that they get that out. In fact, we don't want to put that, we're going to count that directly tonight. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Again, thank you for being here. Next Sunday morning, we're looking forward to that, and next Sunday evening as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Paul writes to a young pastor saying that it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. The wonderful stories that have been shared tonight just go to illustrate the validity of that portion of Scripture, that your word is quick, it is powerful, it brings life, it cuts away the bad, it reveals what needs to be revealed, and we praise you for that. We ask, Lord, for your blessings upon the Gideon ministry and all that they do, and the leaders, the servant leaders that are involved with it, and just pray, Father, that you'll give them good godly insight to make wonderful decisions that honor you in sharing your word. We pray, Father, for those that are here tonight that maybe have not made a decision toward Christ and thinking about making a decision toward Christ to follow him. Lord, in this prayer, I hope they'll realize that they can stop me or stop anyone else that's a member of this church and say, hey, I want to make it public tonight. I'm following him. And we can talk to them what that looks like. And we praise you for that. So again, Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for what you've shared through Norm. And pray may it challenge us not only to be involved with that, but to obviously be involved as as Southern Baptist Church and the great work that you have in Southeast Asia. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.